Hello and a very warm welcome to the world outside. I'm Maha Siddiqui. Last week, the foreign ministers of the four Quad countries met virtually. This was the first meeting where the new U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, participated, but the second within a span of 4 months. Is the Quad gaining momentum in view of countering China? I have with me former diplomat and former Secretary East in the Ministry of External Affairs, Mr. Rajiv Sikri. Many thanks, sir, for speaking with us.
Hello, how are you, Maha?
Great, sir. So, sir, we'll start with the significance of the Quad and the fact that it is now meeting more frequently at the ministerial level. What would you say it suggests?
I think when the Quad was first conceived in 2007, it was evident, though not explicitly stated, that it was born out of concerns about China. But at that time, the four countries involved, USA, Australia, Japan, and India, did not think that the Chinese threat was that serious, and their own respective interests overrode the common concerns. So that is why after a few months, it kind of collapsed because both the Japanese and the Australians backed out. And even we were not very, very keen on this idea. The Quad has gained momentum in the last year or so because the concerns, security concerns about China, China's behavior, its unilateralism, aggressiveness, assertiveness, in the international arena, whether it is against Japan or against other countries in the South China Sea or now against India in Ladakh. And we've had these instances earlier also, those Doklam, and that was a very serious matter. All these, I think, have crystallized thinking that perhaps the Quad is a good idea. And it gained a lot of momentum under President Trump, who was very direct and blunt about things and gave it the push which I think now it has become one of the established forums where we are discussing not just the military aspects, but other aspects of possible cooperation between the four countries concerned. So, yes, I would say that the Quad has certainly assumed a more serious dimension today as a result of various activities that have been undertaken by China and a clearer realization of the threat that the China-dominated world poses. At the same time, I think we must bear in mind that not everyone is on the same wavelength. The Indian position is that we must maintain ASEAN centrality, that the free and open India-Pacific is an idea that is different from the Quad. So, you know, there is still a lot of hedging that is going on.
So, sir, do you think then ultimately the Quad can act as an effective counter in the region to China?
You know, there are many aspects of the Quad's activity. As I said, it was interesting and a bit surreal that the U.S. State Department take a readout on the latest Quad meeting starts off with the climate change and COVID-19 issues and not the hardcore security issues. I think that it is noteworthy that so far the Quad have not come up with a joint statement, although it would have been quite easy to make a joint statement based on many common factors. But the fact that you have not done so speaks of a certain hesitancy in formalizing it beyond the point at this stage. I'm not saying it won't happen in the future, but at this stage, there is a little bit of caution. I think the other countries in the region, Japan, Australia, and India, are concerned about the constancy and consistency of U.S. policy. Mr. Biden has reiterated that he is not going to step back from challenging China's preeminence or quest for preeminence. But at the same time, you would have noted that he has downplayed the Uyghur problem, the Tibet problem, and so forth, talking about the different norms followed in. So that has given us some hope that there are cracks in the core. You also see that after Prime Minister Abe of Japan has stepped down, the new Prime Minister, Mr. Suga, is a little more cautious. Mr. Abe was far more forthright on things like the Quad. In fact, he talked about the democracy diamond, which is the same thing. But I think that we should look at some of the other things, apart from the military, that the Quad is doing, which is counterterrorism, which is maritime domain awareness, trying to develop alternative supply chains, things like that. And the habit of working together is gradually being crystallized and solidified. Earlier, very middle level meetings, joint secretaries level, then it became foreign secretaries, and now we have a ministerial meeting which is likely to be held every year. So there is progress in the materialization of the Quad structure, but there are still limits to what the Quad countries are willing to do.
So in this context, one of the former U.S. diplomats, Alice Wells, who dealt with South Asia and Central Asia, she had been stressing, and before her retirement as well, that Quad should be formalized. You are saying it's a hesitancy at this moment, but would the formalization of this sort of a grouping help? And what difference does formalizing a grouping of this nature really make?
You know, you have to be very clear on what are the areas of cooperation of the Quad countries. There's nothing wrong in having a grouping like the Quad, just as there is a BRICS grouping, so forth, which will cooperate on various issues. After all, we are democracies, we are significant maritime powers, we do have a certain convergence in respective geopolitical perspectives. So there's nothing wrong in cooperating in these areas. But there are also differences on things like, say, Myanmar, what the recent coup which has happened in Myanmar. Countries like India do not want to push the Myanmar government junta too much at this stage because it could drive them closer to China. We have our interests in Myanmar, but we are a neighboring country. The Americans tend to look at it from a more ideological point of view. Then we are also not sure so far about whether the CATSA will apply to India when we get the S-400 missiles, because if that were to happen, then there would be a certain weakening of the trust between India and USA on strategic issues. These are some reasons why, and Japan is too close to China and economically too integrated with China to really break away. I think all countries have realized that for all the talk of decoupling, there are limits beyond which the decoupling, economic decoupling from China cannot take place. Taiwan is a very important flashpoint, which could become a very serious issue if either the United States or Japan were to take any steps to force the issue. So I think we need to have a realistic view of the Quad. It has its potential, but every country concerned wants to proceed a little more cautiously because not all interests are common. There are some common interests, certainly. And I think that, you know, even on the military side, it is possible to cooperate a little more. But there will be some hesitancy in going full-blown manner of cooperation in this sector.
So, all countries, you said, have different interests, different reasons to align with a certain grouping as well. But in the case of India, as you have already mentioned, India itself was a hesitant partner in the Quad, initially not wanting to upset equations with China, which is our neighbor. But things have changed over the last 6-7 months, over the 9 months, when the LAC friction started in Eastern Ladakh. Do you see India now wanting to have a greater say and participation in Quad?
You are absolutely right that the Indian position has changed. Some of the hesitancy that was there earlier has gone away because of the events in Ladakh in 2020. And I think that we have managed to probably have this disengagement in the dark, partly because the Chinese have felt some pressure of the crystallization of the Quad. And of course, the other measures, economic and investment restrictions that have been imposed on the Chinese. So, since we have adopted a whole approach to our relations with China, the Quad has its role in helping us in tackling the situation on the boundary with China. At the same time, I think we have to be realistic that when it comes to the crunch, when it came to the crunch, India was essentially on its own in tackling the Chinese. Yes, the Americans may have given us some intelligence, which was valuable, given us some equipment and aircraft and other military weaponry that helped us, certainly. But as far as boots on the ground is concerned, it was essentially ourselves. And that will remain the situation in the future, because there's no getting away from the fact that India is the only country of the Quad which shares a boundary with China, which has serious problems on the boundary with China, and therefore its perspective will always be guided by these considerations, which the others do not have. The others are looking upon primarily the maritime threats that China poses. And we share some of these, like the need to have freedom of navigation and so forth. But they cannot help us on the border with China. So we need to keep that factor very much in mind.
Hmm. Many thanks, Rajiv Sikri, for giving us that perspective into the Quad. That's it then on The World Outside this week. Thanks for listening to our podcast.